Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to Light Upon Light. I am your host, Habib Za'atar. Would like to congratulate all the Shias around the world, for these are the days of remembering the birthday of our beloved Imam, Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. With me today to talk about Imam Al-Hadi and a little bit about his life is my beloved brother, Sheikh Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor for me to have this opportunity to be able to talk about Imam Hadi alayhi salam.
So, Sheikh, what have you prepared for us about Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam?
Well, about the life of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, unfortunately, the life and the character of Imam Hadi alayhi salam is not so much talked about, because one reason in the history, we have so little pages about the life of Imam Hadi alayhi salam.
That goes back to the and rulers, right? That
yes, the caused, oppression.
Yeah.
Yes, that goes back to the circumstances where Imam Hadi alayhi salam was put in forcibly. So we don't have so much narrations from Imam Hadi alayhi salam as we have from, for example, Imam Baqir alayhi salam or Imam Sadiq salatullah alayhi.
I think it was him or Imam Al-Askar alayhi salam that didn't, that couldn't even say salams to the Shia on the street. When they walk in the street, the Shia, the followers, the loved ones couldn't even look at them in the streets,
yes,
because they were afraid of torture, afraid of oppression by the Khalifa at the time.
Yes, yes. Actually, starting from Imam Jawad alayhi salam, the life of Ahlul Bayt became much more difficult, became much more limited and confined. About Imam Hadi alayhi salam, well, in the time of Imam Hadi salatullah alayhi, there were several oppressive rulers. For example, Mu'taz, Mu'tasim, Muntasir, Mutawakkil. Among these rulers, the most hateful, the most spiteful, the most oppressive, and the most evil of them was Mutawakkil. And he ruled for around 18 years. Right. So he did nothing less than the most amount of oppression that he could do, the most amount of killing Shia, imprisoning them, hurting them, cutting the body parts, especially interfering the pilgrimage of the Shia. So Shia was accustomed to going on a pilgrimage to see the shrine of Imams, salam, especially Sayyid al-Shuhada salawatullah alayhi. But Mutawakkil la'natullah alayhi interfered with this so much. He even
The condition of cutting one hand of the,
yes,
of the caravan, of each caravan.
Yes,
right?
It started by Mutawakkil, ra'anatullah alayh. But the Shia did nothing less. They loved Sayyidul Shuhada salawatullah alayh. They loved their imams, and they would give anything that they had in order to go on a pilgrimage and see the shrine of imams and have this intimate connection with imams alayhi salam. So Imam Hadi alayhi salam, with this kind of oppression that even Mutawakkil moved forcibly Imam alayhi salam from Medina to Samarra and kind of prisoned Imam in Samarra in a military kind of area. Samarra was that kind of a city in those times, a military kind of a city. All of the forces, army of the Mutawakkil, they were stationed there. So Imam alayhi salam was put there to have knowledge and information about anything that Imam does. So Mutawakkil made sure that Imam is fully under control by his thought. So Imam alayhi salam did a couple of things. One is that kind of agency that we talked about. Imam continued the agency, the organization in which several people that were appointed by Imam alayhi salam through
the second matter, you could call the, you can't connect with them right away. So what do you do? You connect with them by agencies.
Yes. So through this agency, Imam alayhi salam did the task and responsibilities that he thought they were necessary. Guiding the Shia, answering questions, things that we have talked about before. The second thing is especially teaching the Shia to act secretively and to defend themselves, to protect themselves through a specific set of actions. We call this in the language of religion at-taqiyya. Means protecting yourself or protecting your reputation your family members, you know, your life, your possessions, the your brothers and religions' possessions, or their lives, or their like reputation, protecting them. Now, how to protect? Sometimes you need to kind of do not say what is right. For example, imagine that a bad ruler comes forcibly to your house, for example, and wants to kill you, kill your family members, and ask you something. If you want to protect yourself, you can, in that position, also tell a lie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a necessity. It's a necessary. Yes. It's a necessary thing to do to keep your life.
Yes. It's necessary to do it. You can keep the truth. You can be silent. Sometimes it is not enough. You have to say something. You can swear or make a false oath. So this teaching of taqiyya was very important at that time because the oppression was growing so much. And the Shia, they needed to protect themselves and also protect their imam. And Imam alayhi salam protected himself and also his followers by this specific teaching, which we will talk about that in the next segment.
Inshallah ta'ala, thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, we have to take a short break. Again, we would like to congratulate you on the birthday of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. So please, brothers and sisters, stay tuned and be safe.
The 10th of the 12 Shia Imams, Imam Ali al-Naqi, also called Hadi, was born on 15th of Dhul-Hijjah, 212 after Hijrah in Holy Medina. This holy Imam was at the helm of the Shia Muslim world at the young age of 8, just like his father Imam Jawad, who had also become the Shia Imam at the same age. The life of Imam Hadi was coincident with a forceful wave of heretic thoughts in the Muslim community. In this era, it was a public belief that God has hand and legs and a body, and if anyone opposed this belief, he was called an unbeliever. In such an intense time, Imam Hadi taught the most profound notions of God's unity, Tawheed, to the Shia Muslims and protected this community from those deviant thoughts. The Abbasid caliphs were also aware of the significance of this event, and this led to more restrictions on the last imams. For this reason, Mutawakkil, the Abbasid ruler, summoned Imam Hadi from Medina to Samarra, where the imam was forced to settle in a military base. At that time, the Shias were scattered across the world, and the wide network of deputies was the only way to reach out to Imam Hadi. The residence of Imam Hadi in a military base had even made it more difficult and sometimes impossible for Shias to meet this holy imam in person. One of the greatest legacies of Imam Hadi is the numerous written prayers by this holy imam. These prayers contain the most profound and weighty Islamic beliefs and ethics in a simple language for the public. Furthermore, these prayers were commonly read by the people at the sacred shrines as an act of pilgrimage, which is a display of love and affection of the Shias towards their holy imams. Jama al-Kabira, one of the best written prayers in the hands of the Shia Muslims, is narrated from Imam Hadi. This prayer is a perfect manifest of beliefs for any Shia Muslim, almost addressing all aspects of Shia ideology such as God's unity, Tawheed, prophethood, imamate, and the resurrection day. This prayer is recommended to be read at the shrines of all imams. The Abbasid Caliphate always insisted to create a cynical view of the Shia Muslims and their holy infallible imams among the masses. Therefore, they sponsored a group of people to pretend being Shia Muslims and claim that the holy imams are the god. Not so long after their creation, this group faced strong opposition by Imam Hadi. Later on, this group was excluded from the Shia community and was named Bolat, meaning the people who exaggerated. In such a disturbed era, Imam Hadi could train a small number of students to educate the Shia Muslims and teach them about the narrations of the Holy Prophet and his pure household. Abdul Azim al-Hassani was one of the most distinguishing students of Imam Hadi. He was a loyal companion of Imam Hadi and a scholarly figure among the Shia community. Today, his memory is revered and his shrine is a sacred site in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Finally, the Abbasid Caliph martyred Imam Hadi at the age of 42 in 254 after Hijrah. The pure body of this holy imam was laid to rest in Samarra in today's Iraq.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Thank you again for joining us. I am with my beloved brother, Sheikh Muhammad. We were talking about the life of Imam al-Hadi as it's his birthday, or these days are the anniversary of his birthday. And we talked about how history hasn't told us a lot about Imam al-Hadi, like how we would love to know more, and not as much as the rest of the Imam alayhum as-salam, because of the situation he was living in. He was living in a very, very tight situation. And we also talked about the agencies that he used so he could connect with the Shia. And we talked about one way of life that the Shias had to keep themselves safe, to keep their family members safe, so the Imam could stay alive, was at-taqiyya, or the precise English word for it would be?
Protection,
you could say, protecting yourself. So, Shaykhna, we would like you to continue, please.
Thank you. About this notion of taqiyya, about this protection, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam talked so much, and it's surprising when you go to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt and you understand so much more about it, you see that how much they have emphasized on it. Probably at first sight, it seems not much of a, you know,
big matter, a big
thing.
Deal.
Yes, not much of a big deal. But when you study, you understand that it's absolutely necessary.
It's a fundamental in the life of Shias to keep them alive.
For example, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam have said, "La dina liman la taqiyata lah."
At-taqiyatu dini wa dinu abai. Taqiyya, or protection, is the religion of mine and my father's.
Yes. La dina liman la taqiyata lah. What does it mean? You don't have a religion if you do not protect yourself. If you do not use taqiyya, if you do not protect yourself, your family members, your brothers.
The Shia community and society altogether.
That is a big responsibility that we have. Unfortunately, some people, some Shia even, followers of Ahlul Bayt, in the time of Imam Qasim alayhi salam, some of them didn't follow this rule. Now, what did they do? They received hadith from Imam Qasim alayhi salam.
And want to spread it out without paying attention to
them. And they went outside and spread it out to the unworthy people.
Yes. Pretty much making it a hazardous community for the Shias.
Yes. And that kind of, that movement, that negative thing that they did, we call that al-idha'ah, means to reveal a secret. When you reveal these kind of secrets, which are religious secrets, the belief of the faiths and beliefs of Shia, the bad thing about them is that other people will identify the Shia by their beliefs. And when you talk so openly about what your heart holds, then they will find you, they understand that you are Shia, and they will kill you.
I think it's very fundamental to point out to this, that the Shias, that if you were titled as a Shia at the time, you were against the
against
the throne, you
against
could say.
The law, yes. Yeah. Against the throne, they would kill
an outlaw.
You, hurt you. Yes, outlaw. Very good. Well, very well said. So some of them did this, and they were punished by Imam alayhi salam, also by God. Imam Qasim alayhi salam, for example, says that some of my followers did this, and God gave me a choice to imprison me for the rest of my life or to punish the Shia. And I chose myself to be in prison and to endure this suffering, not my followers. So this teaching of taqiyya, I really urge our audience to go and study about it, because especially in these times, it is very important, and it keeps you safe, especially against the enemies of the Shia that we have. The third thing that Imam Hadi salawatullah alayhi did and was very important was teaching the Shia through prayers, through holy scriptures, through texts that the students received from Imam Hadi alayhi salam. We call them ad'iyah in the language
supplications.
Supplications. And one of the most famous supplications that we have
from Imam Hadi alayhi
salam is Jama'atul Kabir.
Ziyarat al-Jama'ah.
Now, this topic of ziyarah is probably at first sight, it might seem that it's like a couple of pages, you should read it, and after that you should go to the shrine of Imam. From, you know, this usual way of people that they
act upon this.
But truly the aim of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the purpose of making the supplication is to teach. It is the best classroom that you can find. It is the best relationship tool that you can find to establish this kind of connection with your Imam, with the God. If you want to ask something from God, you should know how to require, how to ask it. And the ziyarah tells us so much about the standing of Ahlul Bayt and about what we should do. It's an absolutely astonishing and resourceful source of knowledge.
It's full of, you could say, how to understand Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, how to follow them much better.
Yes.
When looking upon it, especially showing the high status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in. And and to understand that, I think it helps us Shias understand why we are Shias actually.
Yeah, very well said. That's very important. The more you know, the better you act, right? The more you know, the less becomes your mistakes and the deeper becomes your life. Now, how do we know more? How do we become more trained and educated in this way? One of the great ways of that is to study the supplications. You know, sometimes we want to read them to have a connection or to ask God something. Sometimes we look at it as a lesson.
Source of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Source of knowledge. Just study it. Just sit down, relax, contemplate on it.
And that's why we have a lot of books that interpretate this ziyarah. For example, we have Sayyid Abdullah Shubar, we have Al-Allama Al-Majlisi, his father as well. And many, many more. For Sheikh Al-Awhad, for example, there are a lot of people who interpretate this ziyarah.
Yes, a lot of Shia scholars that they have a lot of emphasis on it. They interpret it, talk about it so much. For example, Allamatul Majlisi, rahmatullah alayhi, says that Jamaatul Kabir is one of the most authentic, most important in terms of the text, when we look at it in terms of the teachings that it has, in terms of the authenticity. It is amongst the best texts and holy scriptures that we have received. Now, the next step is to kind of step inside the ziyarah and see what Imam Hadi Salawatullah Alayhi teaches us through the ziyarah.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave that for another episode, Sheikh. Thank you very much. And brothers and sisters, please stay tuned. For the next episode, we'll actually enter inside Ziyarat al-Jama'ah. We would like to congratulate you on the birthday of Imam al-Hadi. From now until the next show, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.